you realize it's more than a job. You realize it's why you are here. You're here to make a difference on this planet.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, my name's Brian Nickerson. I'm guest hosting on Women in Tech for Esprit Devora. I'm really excited about our guest today, Robin Burrell. She's Chief Product Officer at RedFlight. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's good to be here.
Great to have you here in our Santa Monica offices on a somewhat wintry day here, which winter in Santa Monica is really not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's not. But, you know, we're Californians, so it's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
As soon as it drops beneath like 65, people go running for the hills.
What's happening? So tell us a little bit more about RedFlight.
Well, let's see. RedFlight has been in business now for 4 years. So we're new, but I think we finally have our sea legs. And we're a company that helps other brands and companies with their digital footprint. So that's across mobile or interactive experiences in the last couple of years in 360 VR and augmented reality.
Wow. Is there a client that you can kind of point us to, or is there any specific work that you're able to kind of call out, or is that confidential?
Oh no, totally. Yeah. We have a couple of really great projects to boast about. I guess most recent and currently I'm working with the Mandela family in South mm-hmm. Africa, where we also have an office. RedFlight is also located in Johannesburg.
Oh wow.
And the work that we do mainly in Johannesburg is in the social enterprise side. So really helping South African youth understand how to leverage emerging technology to be able to compete in the economy for actually today and tomorrow for the future mm-hmm. of South Africa. So we do a lot of workshops and we teach STEM, and we actually teach the fundamentals of how to create VR and AR and product development, as well as leadership and entrepreneurship. But in addition to the work we're doing in South Africa, RedFlight is also advising the Mandela family. This is their centennial year in terms of the life of Nelson Mandela, were he still alive, he would have been 100.
Wow.
So there's a big annual initiative to relive his legacy and make sure that we're still on the same path that he started when he was alive, which is enabling empowerment for communities and justice and all the principles of freedom. And so I think now more than ever, that's a very important topic for more than just South Africa. And so as advisor and through RedFlight, I'm helping them navigate all the ways that technology can be a part of reviving his memory and his mission and purpose. So we're doing that, of course, through kind of the basics of what's the web, the new kind of web experience for discovering what the Mandela family is up to in terms of all of those goals, but then also what does VR and AR look like when it also addresses the themes around the Mandela family? So we're working on fun stuff like holographic technology and leadership programs that really have technology at its core. How to empower, again, the youth for tomorrow to be able to compete with developed countries that are very, very familiar with STEM and computer science. So lots of stuff. I can go on and on, lots of stuff. But it's a very exciting client project and passionate purpose of ours. So we're excited for 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were saying as part of Africa Rising, Nelson Mandela's grandchildren are a part of the organization?
Yes. Yeah. Ndaba Mandela and Kwaku Mandela. Mm-hmm. Actually, Kwaku was here just last week. Kind of kicking off things with Charlize Theron at the Geffen. And they hosted a big event to kind of talk about how the Hollywood community can come together to make sure that in the future and in the present and the future, we're not perpetuating some of the injustices that we've seen in the past. So big conversation, big topics.
Yeah.
And it's just the beginning on working with the broader international community.
In your work, are there places where you feel like you need to go farther? Are there things, you said you were really optimistic about 2018.
Yeah.
Tell us more maybe about that on the work side.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that 2017 exhausted a lot of people, you know, mentally and emotionally. But we kicked off 2018 with the continuation of the Women's March.
Yeah.
And seeing a lot of activists around the world fight for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into 2018, I feel as though there's this kind of energetic momentum that is a little bit energizing. It's invigorating, I think, for a lot of people who felt very deflated by 2017.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for that feeling of possibility that 2018 seems to have.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's still a lot of things that we need to change in terms of the workplace and gender equality and, you know, unconscious bias.
Yeah.
But I think we're on the right path to solving all of that. The Makers Conference that, you know, Oath was behind a couple of weeks ago was also very much an empowering moment to see so many people kind of rally around change here in America, but around the world. So, and, you know, I was just talking to Indaba Mandela just 2 days ago, and we were kind of planning for the year ahead. And it was after Black Panther had just come out.
Yeah.
And he's just so excited to see people really like fired up about Africa again, you know, even those in the context of superheroes and action movies and everything. And, you know, obviously in Africa, it doesn't look like Black Panther, you know, people flying around saving the world that way. But it was just, you know, there's again, that energy is even behind some of these new movies that are coming out in the beginning of the year.
Right.
And so he's very excited. And he's like, you know, we have to find a way to leverage this energy. People are really rallying around Black Panther as a movement, as a culture, as a feeling. And so what I'm excited for is to kind of be a part of, you know, that windstorm and try and create products that align with that same energetic momentum, people wanting to see change, people coming together. That's always been a part of who I am, but it's nice when you see others like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. What parts of that movement do you think need to go farther? That could be specific to the Me Too movement. It could be this sort of energetic place that you're feeling, and I think the world is feeling. Hopefully, more of the world is feeling.
Yeah.
But like, where does it need to go? Because we've had this like amazing birth over the last year, which in my mind, a lot of that is one of the positives of the U.S. election. Is this like, hey, we actually, like, people are rising up and saying this is not okay and we need to initiate change. Certainly a lot has happened, but where do things need to go?
I think it really helps when there's more content out there that continues the dialogue, but in a way that really connects with people. You know, again, Black Panther was that.
Yeah.
It's this fictional world, but it had real world messages that are very contemporary and relevant right now. And so it doesn't come at you with a heavy hand, but it comes at you in a way that is relatable and gets people to kind of open their eyes and awake to different ways that stories and storytelling, I should say, can create impact and change. And so one of the projects that I'm working on and have been working on over the past year, it won first place in the National Association of Broadcasters Future Award for Innovation. It was the Pilot Innovation Award that went towards our project called In Your Shoes. And it's a project that I developed with Trina Dasgupta. She's also very active in the space of leadership and change. She's on the board of Girls Who Code, and she's been active in South Africa where she lived. She's amazing. And so together we came up with this concept to create a 360 VR experience that helps one another who are on two different sides of a major issue, say like gun control or immigration, really kind of go into one another's shoes through 360 VR and find a way to heal the difference and the divide that is really coursing through the U.S. right now. And this was the project that ended up winning NAB Futures First Place Award. But more than that, it really gave us confidence that this is the type of content that is wanted and needed. And really, this is the best time to have those type of narratives, not only in VR and 360, but broadcast. What In Your Shoes is also a broadcast series that happens to have a VR and 360 component to allow the two individuals on two sides of each issue kind of come together and see what it's like in each other's shoes. So, for example, it will be the police officer who's working in a community, in an urban community, and then the other side is a Black family that feels disenfranchised from law enforcement, or they experienced, an unfair killing, or they experienced some other form of injustice through the judicial system. But it helps the two kind of come together through resolution. And so that's an example of a project that I'm working on that I think embodies the need for change in the type of stories that are being told.
That's incredible. Yeah. Because usually, or it's hard to generalizing these things, but usually it's a lack of understanding and a lack of awareness. And usually it's actually a lack of communication that drives so many of these things, right? And it's like assumptions that get put down on both sides, right? If I think of, a community and a police officer and things that like they're not talking to each other. And that's a big source of that divide. And some of the downside, I think, of social media, I usually think of the upside of social media, but some of the downside is like all these negative voices can also get amplified. The positives can get amplified, but the negatives can also get amplified.
Absolutely. The hive mind is in full effect on social.
Yeah. So, I mean, the algorithms are built that way.
Yeah.
So is there something unique about, like the AR or VR experience or AI experience? Wait, not AI.
No, AI too.
AI too.
AI
yeah.
too. AI yeah. is really becoming yeah. another means of connecting people to content, stories, otherness. So AI is also part of it.
Yeah. Is that medium unique in terms of bringing about some of this change in the world? Or is it like, is there something about that medium that can help people connect to stories differently?
I think so. The answer is yes, but I think that technology is very similar to, I think, weapons like guns. In the wrong hands, it can be deadly.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, you can have a gun sit around for 100 years and it'll never kill someone. Someone comes around and decides to use it to hurt another. It's a very easy thing to do. And so I think that technology is the same as is, AR, VR, AI. I think you can use VR and AR as a means to kind of check out, like another extension of video games or a fantasy world where you're not really connected to anything except for your experience and not wanting anything to kind of challenge and uproot your beliefs.
Right.
And that's okay. I mean, that's the origin of film and TV and, American pastimes. But to answer your question, I do think that in the right context and used in the right way, it can be extremely eye-opening and life-changing if you choose kind of the right path to take. I think it's just like anything. And I think that's where it shares its DNA with television. You can turn on like BoobTube TV and just zone out on some silly mindless comedy and not, get woke. Or you can turn on really cerebral television and find a way to see the world differently.
Right. I love that. But I feel like the water cooler conversations are still generally around like BoobTube TV.
Oh yeah. And that's fine. I mean, I think about all the great conversations and friendships I've made in connecting around, a show that was a suspension of belief, whether it's Westworld or Seinfeld, we always have these great conversations about last night's episode. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's all about balance. I think it's about balance and choosing the right projects that you work on, being mindful in the people and the way that you treat one another, being respectful, focusing on equality, I think this is just really the time where we need to kind of grow up as a species.
Yeah.
And we can still have fun and play and check out and boob tube it all we want. But we also need to evolve a bit and not, you know, not to get all esoteric and spiritual. But I think that as technology evolves, we also have to evolve with it and not just become, you know, kind of like a dumb vessel that technology works through.
Is WALL-E the Pixar movie where everyone's like just looking down at their phones? Like that basically is it's kind of what is happening right now.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. You know, I saw though a really interesting, it was a meme or a post or something, and it was showing like 1940 versus today. And everyone on the trains and in the streets, they were looking at newspapers and they weren't looking up. They still weren't interacting. They were just flipping through newspapers because that was the form of communication then. And, you know, there were the newspaper boys on the street. So everyone had reading material and no one was communicating. And now here we are in 2018. It's the same. It's just like the platform is different. So, you know, the point was like nothing has really changed. Humans still kind of want to check out and be distracted by something. It's just the medium has changed. So
that's so good. I love that.
Yeah.
So how do you get connected? I mean, you know, the Mandela family, obviously, you know, amazing legacy, history of changing the world. How are you as a, you know, entrepreneur, and as a person in the world, like how do you connect? How do you start making these connections and leading change?
You know, I will say if I could go back to where I really think the genesis of how this happened began, it was with an idea. I had started my company. I was doing it for about a year and things were fine. But I decided that I wanted to work on really meaningful projects and I wanted to work with really meaningful, smart people that were conscious of the ills of the world and wanted to use and leverage technology to change it and make it better.
Mm.
I didn't know how. I didn't really have any relationships that I knew of that would facilitate that vision. And I wasn't working on any projects that were even remotely close to international amnesty or social justice or social enterprise or any of that stuff. And so it just really kind of started with a vision of what I wanted to be working on. And I think once I focused on that, I started to see opportunities and see people to slowly connect the dots. And I never really saw past the first person like, oh, I know if I talk to this person, I'll get here. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just being mindful. It was like kind of setting my mind as to what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then that started to take shape.
Yeah.
And then the actual physical action where I think that happened was I was invited to South Africa by Standard Bank and Oracle, and they had invited me to do a series of lectures and consulting. Like it was like this whirlwind week of lectures, consulting, and a workshop for kids in STEM and VR and robotics. Actually, it wasn't robotics at the time, but it was like a STEM workshop and leadership and entrepreneurship. And when I was there, I believe it was one of the representatives for the Mandela family had seen me on the news or they had saw me in a post. They saw me somehow through publicity of the work that I was doing and they reached out to me.
Oh, wow.
And they asked if I would come and visit Nelson Mandela's hometown of Kunu, which is in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, about 2 hours by plane south of Johannesburg. Mm. If I would return to South Africa and host a workshop for girls there, and it's still very much an impoverished part of the country, mm-hmm. and not a lot of resources. It's definitely unlike anything that we really are used to here in a place like California.
Sure, yeah.
And so they invited me, and I did this STEM workshop with 75 girls, and it was amazing. It was challenging at times because Wi-Fi went out. We actually got the Wi-Fi stolen halfway through the workshop. Like someone actually pulled up the cables in the middle of the night to steal the Wi-Fi. And so we had to do the rest of the workshop offline and quickly pivot. But it was it was life changing. And the Mandela family asked if then I would be, it just started to then snowball. They're like, will you be an advisor? Will you be our director of technology? Will you help us with the centennial? And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And so here I am doing more than I could probably handle with them. But it's all the work that I've wanted to be doing all this time. And, you know, I balance it with the partners and the clients I still have here in Los Angeles, which is also exciting. But really the work that I'm doing in South Africa is the passionate purpose side of Red Flight.
Wow. So do you spend a lot of time in South Africa now?
I do have an office there and I have someone running it. Yeah. And I go there, I'd say about maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
This is still new. So I went there twice last year and I have a trip planned to go to Ghana actually in May and then go through South Africa. So I probably have a couple of trips coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, so teaching the STEM class, and for folks who don't know STEM, do you want to just spell that out just really quickly?
Oh, yeah. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If I'm wrong, forgive me. I'm on the spot. But I do believe that. And then sometimes you see STEAM to include a little bit more of the arts that's involved in STEM. Folks, that's just coding, programming, engineering. Yeah. It's the girls who code stuff. It's, you know, how everything runs on our devices. And STEM is just the, you know, the acronym for catching all of that programming language stuff for most people. Yeah, to put it very simply.
And so what was the impact? I mean, your eyes just lit up as you were talking about, you know, teaching that class and with all the young women in it. What was the impact that you saw or felt from it?
Well, you know, I think it really was just, I think most of us get really excited and feel good when we see change that we've made, you know, whether it's a parent making our child smile, or whether it's making our boss happy because we nailed it in a meeting, whether it's, you know, finishing a really good workout in the gym and everyone's like, yeah, man, you nailed those burpees. Mm. I think that we all feel really good when we can succeed in either making ourselves feel better about the work that we're doing or making ourselves feel better because we're changing lives. And to do that work in South Africa, I really got to see instantly how we were changing lives. I mean, girls were dancing. It's just such a vibrant culture. One, I mean, they just blow Americans away in terms of celebrating life. But, you know, they were dancing at the end. They were singing. They were chanting our names. They were adding us on Instagram and WhatsApp and crying and thanking us, and then all these letters poured in afterwards, like, you've given me confidence to be able to believe I can do anything. And I was having trouble in my coding class, but you guys made it seem just so, you know, approachable, or made it seem easier for us. And, you know, we just felt like, gosh, this work that we're doing, it's actually changing lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then also even the teachers were like, oh, you can't imagine what you've done for the students. And now we are taking some of what you taught us and are applying it in the classrooms. And so, you know, we know that the work we do over there is important. And sometimes, you know, with regular clients, you know, here in the States, sometimes it can feel like a job, which is okay. You know, when you run your own company, some clients do feel like a job. But when you're working, I think, with young people, you realize it's more than a job. You realize it's why you are here. You know, it's why you're here. You're here to make a difference on this planet. And sometimes that can come through parenting. Sometimes that can come through all sorts of different things. But this is, for us, it's been how we really feel proud of the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you a parent yourself?
No, I'm not. I don't know. If you can consider Maymay my cat, my child. She acts like a child sometimes. So sometimes I feel like a parent. But no, I am not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, the way you spoke about it almost sounded like you already were.
I have a lot of friends that are parents.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Robin, this has been a fantastic conversation. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Brian.
We unfortunately have to call it a day. We've been speaking with Robin Burrell. She's Chief Product Officer of Red Flight. And also an advisor for Africa Rising. Keep on inspiring the world.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Robin, as we close the show, how can people find you? If they want to find you online, where would they go?
Sure. So there's a couple of ways. You can go, if you're just looking for me, www.robinburrell.com, RobinneBurrell.com, or you can go to redflightmobile.com. And you can also follow me at Robin B, first name, last initial, on Twitter or Instagram.
And that's R-O-B-I-N-N-E?
Yes, yes. Yeah. R-O-B-I-N-N-E-B. I think I'm one of the only Robins that are Googleable with R-O-B-I-N-N-E, except for an actress who I actually like a lot. But so it's either me or the actress. So it's kind of easy to find.
Amazing. Well, Robin, you've been a great guest, and thank you so much.
Thank you again, Brian.
UpGuard, one of my favorite companies in Mountain View, combines asset discovery, security ratings, and vendor questionnaires for the only complete cyber risk solution. Not only do they keep us safe online, they empower women in tech internally. They focus on hiring female engineers to make sure that we rise to the top. So I welcome you to take a look at their job opportunities from Mountain View to New York, New York to Sydney, Australia. They are a company worth exploring. Their mentorship culture is magnetic. Mention the Women in Tech podcast when you apply. Just as they celebrate women in tech, we want to celebrate you too. So make sure to let us know when you've reached out to UpGuard, and we'll make sure to feature you on the Women in Tech social channels. We believe in you. UpGuard.com. Visit them for yourself. You'll see exactly what I mean. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.